Snatva.
Snatva.
After taking bath.
After taking bath.
Anusavanam.
Anusavanam.
Three times.
Three times.
How does that mean three times? Bharatram Das. You don't know. What does savanam mean? Do you know? So it's probably derived indirectly from that. In some usage, what was that? Oh, I can't remember. Tasmin, in that. Kalindyaha, in the river Kalindi, the Yamuna, Salile, in the water, Shive, which is very auspicious, Kritva, performing, Uchitani, suitable, Nivasam, sitting. Atmanaha,
of the self.
Kalpita, asanaha, having prepared a sitting place. Get tissue from my notes. Translation. Narad Muni instructed. My dear boy, in the waters of the Yamuna River, which is known as Kalindi, you should take three baths daily because the water is very auspicious, sacred, and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles for Ashtanga Yoga and then sit down on your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position. Purport. It appears from this statement that Dhruva Maharaj had already been instructed how to practice the Eightfold Yoga system, which is known as Ashtanga Yoga. This system is explained in our Bhagavad Gita as it is in the chapter entitled Sankhya Yoga, pages 319 to 322. It is understood that in Ashtanga Yoga, one practices settling the mind and then concentrating on it on the form of Lord Vishnu, as will be described in the following verses. It is clearly stated here that Ashtanga Yoga is not a bodily gymnastic exercise, but a practice to concentrate the mind on the form of Vishnu. Before sitting on his asana, which is also described in Bhagavad Gita, one has to cleanse himself very nicely in clear or sacred water thrice daily. The water of the Yamuna is naturally very clear and pure, and thus if anyone bathes there three times, undoubtedly, he will be very greatly purified externally. Narad Muni therefore instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to the bank of the Yamuna and thus become externally purified. This is part of the gradual process of practicing mystic yoga. Dhruva Maharaj practiced Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Vasita Tatgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the yoga process is meant for, or Dhyana, specifically Dhyana, which is the penultimate stage of the Ashtanga Yoga system, that is meant for fixing the mind. The meditation should be on Vishnu. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that the mystic yoga system is not the process of God realization. In the sage, Kripeya Dhyayato Vishnu, Dwapare Parichaya, Tretayam Yajjato Makai, Dwapare Parichayaya, Kalodhat Hari Kirtanat. In the sage, as was the system in Krita Yoga, to meditate on Vishnu, as was the system in Treta Yoga, to perform sacrifices, as was the system in Dwarka Yoga, to perform service here on Vishnu, service of Vishnu, in the deity form. Then in Kali Yoga, by Hari Kirtan. So we're all engaged here in Hari Kirtan, not in the mystic yoga process, which it's not possible in this age to achieve perfection by the mystic yoga process. Srila Prabhupada discusses this often. Shastra, the bhakti shastra, specifically those shastras which are specifically delineating bhakti. Others are not. Some are, or at least they appear to be, delineating other processes. They do. There are so many things that are discussed in Shastra, but those which specifically discuss in bhakti, of which the Srimad Bhagavatam is the top most, repeatedly states that the mystic yoga process, as it is generally conceived of by the non-devotional yogis, that is not the right process. And that even the one which is the proper application of the yoga process to meditate on Vishnu, that is not suitable for this age. And Srila Prabhupada has often elaborated on this point, because in this age, a semblance of this yoga process is popular. It was popular when Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness in the West. It was popular in India also. Yoga never stopped being unpopular. There were people standing on their heads in parks in India before city dwellers, before it became popular in the West. Srila Prabhupada saw on one occasion, at least in Delhi, a man on their walk, a man standing on his head. And one of Srila Prabhupada's sannyasi disciples mocked that, and Prabhupada said, "No, that's very good for spiritual realization," he said on that occasion. In the West once also, they came across in a park, in one city, someone practicing yoga, and Prabhupada also said, "This is actually good, and then good for health." And when a devotee asked, "So should we do it then, Prabhupada?" Prabhupada said, "Not necessary." But then when one of Srila Prabhupada's servants was performing that, and he thought Prabhupada would chastise him, and Prabhupada saw him doing that, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is it all right if I do this?" And Prabhupada said, "Whatever is necessary for your service, you can do that." So anyway, it's the process of yoga as is being practiced in the modern age is mostly conceived of as something for health. And people who get into it a bit more, they conceive of it as for calming the mind, and some of them they sort of do some kind of meditation, but it's misleading if it's not directed toward Krishna. So I hope you all understand this point very well, and that's why you're here and not in the yoga studio. And you can explain this to others also with references from Shastra. And even without quoting Shastra, even from the point or the standpoint of common sense, as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, people are doing the meditation, but they can't begin to control their minds. Their minds are so agitated. And how can you do meditation in a place where there's honking of car horns and dogs barking? And even if you can find a peaceful place, the mind is not peaceful. So it's a farce. And doing their meditation and looking at the clock, oh, I have to rush up and get up and rush off to work. So it's not like the meditation of the traditional yogis. Yoga is a full-time job. Full-time and long-term. That the actual Ashtanga yoga process, it's not a part-time job. Any process of yoga is not part-time. That you become yukta and then you become ayukta. You become linked and then again unlinked. But bhakti yoga is a process by which one can, especially as presented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the modern age, it is a process by which one can yukt dovetail. Srila Prabhupada used this term. You can dovetail one's activities with the Supreme. And therefore, it's not necessary to change one's lifestyle to practice this yoga. Unless one's engaged in extremely sinful activities. But if one is a teacher, one can continue to be a teacher. If one is a businessman, he can continue to be a businessman. He doesn't have to radically change his activities, but he can adopt the practices of Krishna consciousness and purify those activities. So it may appear to be unlike that of the yogis who are full-time practicing yoga. Bhakti yoga may appear to be part-time. One performs sadhana and then he does some work. So it's different. But the process of bhakti enables one to dovetail all one's activities with the Supreme. And of course the basis is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parvasevanam, Parchanam, Nandaram, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Of these nine principal processes of bhakti yoga, the two most important are Shravan and Kirtan. And of them, Kirtan is the most important. But Kirtan cannot be Sankirtan, cannot be complete and perfect. The prefix Sam gives the understanding of complete and perfect. It cannot be complete and perfect without hearing. And it needs to be performed also, obviously. It's not, as I was saying, you can, in one sense, be a part-time devotee. But you have to be, at least some of the time, hearing and chanting about Krishna directly. If we try to simply engage, if we hear and chant about Krishna all the time, that's perfect bhakti yoga. If we don't directly hear and chant about Krishna all the time, we can also be perfect bhakti yogis by engaging part of the time in activities as a teacher, a doctor, or whatever. But if we just try to be a teacher, a doctor, or whatever, we don't hear and chant about Krishna, then it's unlikely that we'll be able to dovetail our consciousness with the Supreme due to lifetimes of wrong practice. The tendency to hear or to remember Krishna doesn't awaken generally in the conditioned soul. That's why we're in the material world. So we have to hear and chant about Krishna. At least have to make that direct practice part of the time, so that when we're not directly engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, that because of the strength of our practice of Krishna consciousness, our daily sadhana, we can go on remembering Krishna, even when we're apparently engaged in other activities. And in this way, we attain the same result as the yogis. The ultimate aim of yoga is to remember Krishna. And devotees do that by concentrating on hearing and chanting, and they very easily come to the same goal that the Ashtanga yogis might attain after much difficulty. They try to go directly to the mental platform, to deal with the mind. But the direct bhakti yoga process is to deal with the mind by directly engaging it in the activities of bhakti, hearing and chanting. Of course, it can be said that meditating on Krishna is also an activity of bhakti. But that is, it only engages the mind, or it attempts to engage the mind. There can be meditation. Within the meditation, one can perform other activities also. But because the nature of the mind is flickery, and because the mind is practiced to think of everything except Krishna, therefore the process of hearing and chanting that arrests the mental processes and brings them directly to Krishna, and they're easy to perform. Whereas meditation on Krishna without that preparation is not at all easy to perform. Therefore one has to prepare, the attempt is to prepare by various mechanical means to do so. Whereas Shravanam Kirtan, it's not a mechanical means, it's a natural means, because it's a function of the soul. It is not a function of the soul to perform the yama and niyama of the Ashtanga yoga process. These are introductory rules which help to prepare one. It's not a function of the soul to assume various yogic postures, but it is a direct function of the soul to hear and chant about Krishna. So not only is it a direct function of the soul, but these processes are very pleasing to Krishna, and they directly they directly bring one in contact with Krishna. Bhakti Yoga Mat Hot Sate. What is that verse? It comes in the 7th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam. Anato pasamam saksha bhakti yoga matoksaja lokasata. So there is relief from all unwanted thoughts and activities by the process of bhakti yoga. So if one can gain such benefit from doing it part-time, one may not be able to perform it full-time due to various material obligations, or maybe due to not being prepared mentally for doing so. Even though one is not prepared mentally for full-time devotees, we see many people, they take to bhakti, but they don't want to do it full-time. They don't have enough faith or determination to make that commitment, even though they're in a position to do so. Some people don't do so because they have other commitments, which it would not be advisable for them to give up. And some people do so because they don't have the faith or the determination, or they're not advanced enough, or they have various material attachments. But still that process is more powerful, even done part-time or without full faith, it's still more powerful, especially in this age, than the direct, than the indirect process of trying to go through the Ashtanga Yoga system. So just see how powerful is the Bhakti Yoga system. Of course, I'm not referring here to Dhruva Maharaj. He perfected that process relatively quickly, the yoga process. But that was by the mercy of Narad Muni and by his chanting of the mantra. It wasn't that he was just performing asanas and fixing his mind. He was directed who or which object to fix the mind on. But again, what was possible for Dhruva Maharaj isn't possible for everybody, even in Satyayuga, and what to speak of in the present age. So for us, we're very fortunate to be engaging in this process. Most of us who are present here now are engaged in this full-time, not part-time. Although our tendency is, even having committed ourselves to full-time devotional service, to do it part-time. Or with part commitment, partial commitment. So having joined this movement, we should, as what we call full-time devotees, we should work on being full-time. This full-time means that we have the opportunity to engage all the time in particularly Shravanam, Kirtanam, Mishnam, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. But our unfortunate tendency is to become diverted to other things, either internally or externally. That means we may think about things which have no connection with Krishna consciousness, or we may even cultivate such topics. Of course, our mission is to spread Krishna consciousness within this world. Our mission is janma sata kari karo karo upakar, to make our lives successful by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And spread that to others. Our mission is, we're not like some devotees, they dedicate themselves fully to becoming Krishna conscious, but without any concern for spreading that to others. We'll find many in the Rajamanda especially. They are fully dedicated. Their whole time goes in bhajan. How far they are successful or not, we don't know. It's difficult to say. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is janma sata kari karo karo upakar. These two things should go on simultaneously. For oneself, one should act in a manner that we ourselves become Krishna conscious, in this way make our life successful, and act for the benefit of others. And actually if we try to do this, to act for the benefit of others, then our acting for our own benefit, that will be supplemented and that will come to perfection very easily by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we only act for our own benefit, we might be we could study many books, do many parikramas, but we have to see how much is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pleased while cultivating Krishna consciousness. We should understand our aim is not to become great scholars or great musicians or great anything. Our aim is to become servants. Simply servants. Do whatever is pleasing to Krishna. It doesn't mean that devotees shouldn't become great scholars or they shouldn't become accomplished in various activities. But it is not our aim. It's in and of itself, it has no use to become a great anything in this world, because they've already been great everything, so now great something else is, or not very great something else is. So our only aim is to serve the mission of Krishna. But that we can do by ourselves becoming devoted, and devotion is awakened principally by hearing and chanting about Krishna. As we are moving in this world and living in this world, working in this world and trying to interface with people of this world, we can't be totally aloof from this world. So our shravan and kirtan, or at least our shravan and vachan, our hearing and speaking, may not always be directly on the subject of Krishna. If we are to live in this world and work in this world for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, we may have to, for instance, sometimes hear about computer technology. If you are to purchase a computer for the sake of serving Krishna, it's used in pretty much every facet of life in the modern age. So, if we are to use a computer for whatever, there's so many things you can do with computers. You can keep accounts, and you can make slideshows for presenting Krishna consciousness, write books, design posters, and so many things. So, if one is to purchase a computer, he should have become informed about what is the best buy I can get for the sake of serving Krishna. So, one may discuss that. That means hearing and chanting about computers, which is got nothing directly to do with Krishna consciousness. So he may do so. But extraneous topics, we should be intelligent enough not to become so much involved that our taste develops in that direction. That we become interested in the topics for their own sake. That we be there. Even topics in preaching. For preaching, we may discuss, as Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada often discussed various facets of society at the present time, especially the degradation of society. Srila Prabhupada often discussed history, especially Indian history. So these are topics which are not directly connected with Krishna consciousness, but they can shed light on various topics which are connected to Krishna. We can use it in preaching, just like in the Bhagavatam. It's stated that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So, to demonstrate that point, we can point out, you see, look at the situation in the world. But we don't want to get so much interested in studying the situation in the world that we ourselves dive into the ocean of faults. We want to dive into our sarvatma snapana, our complete bathing of the self should be in the anandandudhi, in the ocean of bliss that is Krishna Sankirtan. So we have to be a little careful not to get diverted. As Srila Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali saying that, where's that? March dhale pani churdena. If you're going to go and catch fish, don't get wet. Don't get pulled. You're supposed to pull the fish out. It's not a very nice example, but anyway, Prabhupada gave it. So, Mahajano yena gatasa panta. The point becomes clear. You're supposed to pull the fish out, not the fish pulls you in. So, I have to be a little careful. Because material world is a strange place, and strangeness is interesting. But our taste has to be directed toward that person whom Dhruva Maharaj was meditating on. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Simple point. It's been made many times. Just like when we're driving, we have to adjust the steering wheel. So, it's a simple point, but if we don't keep on doing it, then we end up off the road. You may think, well, I've done it so many times. Enough. There's never enough. We always have to keep our attention on the road and adjust accordingly. When we reach the destination, all right. Turn off the car and get on with our business. Turn off the engine. But as long as we're aiming for the destination, we have to be very careful to keep fixed on the right, going the right way, and not deviating. So, yeah, anything?